70 to 80% of marine plastic litter are actually your film plastics, single-use or multi-layer plastics like sachets or sando bags. So those aren't traditionally recyclable. In fact, we have a high collection rate for recyclable plastics like PET bottles, right? Or those Zonrox bleach bottles. All of those have value in a junk shop. But the plastics that mostly end up in the ocean, these are the ones that don't get recovered by our informal waste sector or communities because nobody buys them.
In this special series, in partnership with the United Nations Development Program, we'll be diving into EPIC, the Ending Plastic Pollution Innovation Challenge. A competition that spans the ASEAN, EPIC calls for startups and innovators to share creative solutions on how to tackle plastic pollution. This is Sustainarumble, the podcast that explores critical issues on sustainable development in the Philippines. I'm Chantal Nieto.
I am Jonas Marie Dublum.
And I am Siki Asinas. In this special episode, we'll be having an insightful roundtable discussion with none other than the finalists of EPIC. Join us as we get to know more about them and their innovative initiatives towards solving the plastic problem. All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another session for Sustainarumble and UNDP EPIC program. EPIC stands for Ending Plastic Pollution Innovation Challenge, which is an incubation program started by the UNDP, focused specifically for ASEAN-based startups that aim to end plastic pollution. And here with us in this session are six finalists for this year's EPIC program. Today, we have Irene Villa-Espin from EcoShift, Pia Rojas Ocampo from Pure Oceans, Benji Bautista from PTC or Philippine Transmarine Carriers Group, Benjo Vidal from ChashCash, Jason Tahores from Jezebel, Bryce Francisco from ChashCash, and Brian from PB. All right. So we all know for sure we want to know or to get to know our finalists. Could you tell us a bit of a background about yourselves, starting with Irene? Irene, could you tell us more about yourself, what you do for a living, your advocacy, and what your passions are?
So I call myself a social entrepreneur. So I am currently the founder and the chief executive officer of the EcoShift. Before I ventured into social entrepreneurship, I was a corporate employee for a pharmaceutical company. So my advocacy is to provide options to help people shift to a plastic-free lifestyle. So I'm very passionate about this. So I want to encourage more people to limit their plastic use. So I have this mission, a personal mission, wherein I would like to influence as many as 1 million people to shift to plastic-free in the next 5 years. So the goal is to just influence even just one single shift in their personal lifestyle.
Thank you very much, Irene. How about you, Pia?
Hi, Jonas and CK. Well, thanks for having me. I'm Pia Ocampo. I'm the founder of Pure Oceans. I guess starting up Pure Oceans, I mean, officially it just started in 2018, but it's been in my head since, say, 2011. I was a scuba diver. I still am a scuba diver, and I was diving even before 2011. But 2011 was the year that we started seeing more and more plastic underwater, tucked into reefs and coral. And so I've been doing my own thing, and among my diver friends, we do what we can. I call it like it was our single-use solutions. Like every time we dive, we'd bring down a mesh bag so we could clean up underwater in plastic pollution. So I started Pure Oceans in 2018 because we needed to have many communities working on it together. It couldn't just be divers. Couldn't be just the community. It couldn't just be the LGU. And we definitely needed the help of entrepreneurs as well and private organizations. So that's what we're trying to do, kind of create a more robust circular economy in the Philippines and like retrofitting circularity into marine plastic. And hopefully the EPIC work will build more towards that.
Wonderful. Actually, just to share a bit, one of our guests for the upcoming pollution episodes are people who really likes diving also. So that's something that our listeners could be interested to listen to. And yes, they themselves as scuba divers, they saw how polluted the oceans are. So that's why they took action. They took the initiative. Thank you very much, Pia. Now how about Benji? Benji from PTC.
Good morning, everyone. I am Benji Bautista and I am the Marketing Communications Manager for the PTC Group of Companies. It's a diversified conglomerate with 42 years of maritime heritage. In my past life, I used to work with power plants. So I've had the privilege to work with communities, take care of them. And I believe that an information education campaign is really a strong tool by which we can possibly spread awareness in terms of our various advocacies. And we hope to do the same with the community that hopefully we'll be able to work with. If you're asking me about my advocacy personally, it's a bit tame, but I'd like to spread kindness to those around me, and that includes the environment. Because I believe that if you spread kindness, you will be able to develop trust and relationships among the people that you would want to work with. My passion is giving back to the community, because that's what I learned in my past life. It is a great gift when you're given the opportunity to just work with them, spread the kindness. And at the same time, if you have a particular project in mind that you feel that the community needs, then you're able to do so. You're able to pave the way.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Benji. Yes, we truly believe in collaboration. We truly believe in positive impact with other people, because we cannot actually do what we want to do or accomplish anything that we set ourselves out for if we do not first and foremost show kindness to ourselves and to other people as well. Thank you very much, Benji, for that introduction. Now let's have Benjo. Benjo from Trash Cash.
Hi, I'm Benjo Vidal. I'm a traveler before the pandemic. I'm also a software engineer, specializing in mobile application development for 7 years now. And I'm also the founder of a social enterprise startup, the Trash Cash. Our advocacy is to orient and incentivize Filipinos to know the value and impact of their trash. I am passionate about making a difference through technology. Technology really helps us on our daily lives, like it allows us to communicate and connect instantly with people around the world. Like what we are doing here in Trash Cash, our mission is to create positive social and environmental impact by increasing recycling rates and improve waste management by promoting proper segregation from household to prevent plastic from reaching our oceans.
Awesome. So Benjo, I just want to expound further. So you are passionate about technology, I suppose, because you are creating an app, an AI-based application, correct?
Yes, definitely.
Okay, that's cool. So your advocacy is to really make a positive impact through technology.
Yes.
Okay, that's cool. All right. Thank you very much, Benjo. Now let's have Jason from Jezebel.
Hello, everyone. Today, I'm Jason Tahares, the representative of Jezebel Incorporated, which stands for Developing the Youth with Environmentally Sustainable Advocacies to Build and Empower Lives. So the goal of this non-government organization is to inspire, develop, and motivate more young leaders here in Davao region, specifically in Davao City, to be at the helm of environmental conservation and preservation. So we put our focus on the preservation and conservation of the Davao Gulf, which is a very diverse ecosystem. And we plan on taking and popularizing a holistic approach in ending plastic pollution, not just in Davao City, but in the neighboring cities and communities here in Davao region, surrounding Davao Gulf. We met because the members or the founders of Jezebel are members of the Young Southeast Asian Leaders Initiative. They're also very active youth advocates in Sustainable Davao Movement. We also have local non-government organization here in the region. And so we primarily want to bring in more young leaders and inspire them so that the fight for the environment continues even in the coming years to come.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you, Jason. We hope that you would keep on inspiring more younger generation to really take action as well. Last but not the least, Brian from Plastic Battle.
Hi, I'm Brian. I'm a consultant for coastal resources management and projects empowering youth to be leaders in marine conservation. My experience living in Boracay was my eye-opener about the importance of coastal resources. This experience provided me the opportunity to see that the coastal resources could be an economic opportunity, but can be also detrimental to our resources. This leads me to study more about coastal resources and look for work or volunteer experience that I could gather or learn more about coastal conservation. My advocacy in life is for coastal resources management and for us to understand how we utilize our resources. And I started the campaign Plastic Bottle, which aims to prevent plastic bottles at source by providing the options to the public to water refill in island tourism destinations in the Philippines.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Brian. So thank you everyone for your very brief introduction about yourselves. I must say that you are really fantastic individuals who are trying to make a change or at least a dent in the world through your initiatives, especially right now what you're doing. This is what we can do, and this is what is also feasible to address this plastic pollution. So let's start with Benji. Benji, could you tell us more about how PTC started?
Sure. Actually, this started way back around 2018. It was an eye-opener for us. While doing our usual campaigns, PTC, by the way, also has CSR projects, and we used to work with organizations to do like coastal cleanups, tree planting. However, we wanted to do more and possibly effect a change internally first before we go to our communities around us. We know that the shipping and or the maritime industry operations heavily rely on clean seas and oceans. And with statistics or news coming out that an alarming severity of global plastic pollution, this actually sparked an ecological consciousness among our employees and the communities around us as well. This is when we really decided to launch one solid project. Although I know a lot, this is not an original idea that came from the company, but we adopted it anyway. We launched the Plastic Free Starts With Me campaign in about 3 or 4 years ago, 2018. We worked hard first on an internal information education campaign because we have to walk the talk. So we had to like make sure that employees knew what the program is all about. And we tried to promote the use of eco bricks or eco bricking. These are reusable building blocks created by packing used plastics that we have either in the office or in our own homes, and recycled this into actual plastic bottles. At first, we thought that this wouldn't take off. So we really worked hard in terms of the information campaign because people have to understand why we're doing this. So we had video presentations of the plastic ocean, made sure that people knew the severity of this global plastic pollution is. And after that, we actually asked our employees to do it themselves. And it was really amazing because it turned out that we were able to recycle these plastic bottles and make them into creative tools. We ourselves, I mean, we didn't really look at how the others were doing it. We were just creating various tools, tables, plant boxes that we use to this day and inside the office. And with this also, we were able to effect a change around us, the communities and some of the partner schools that we work with. They also have these tools, tables, and plant boxes around their schools. In fact, we're grateful because the EcoBrick Philippines gave us the distinction of being the first company in the Philippines to conduct an organization-wide EcoBrick project. So we actually started this first within the company and then went out little by little into the communities. And that's what we want to do. is to really bank on information campaign about this, make people aware of our initiatives on plastic pollution, and then later on effect a change around us for the communities around us or those that we work with.
Awesome. So I really like how your entire group, your company, is really thinking about how to address this problem all along. And you've been really active in terms of really getting the community together or helping the community on the ground to address these plastic pollution issues that they have been experiencing in their local vicinities and in their areas. Thank you very much, Benji. So let's have next Jason from Jezebel. So could you share with us more about how Jezebel started? Did you have any specific experience that made you say, okay, let's work on this for once and for all? Or was it sort of like you just stumbled upon an idea and you said, okay, this is it? Or were you also aware about the problems about plastic? Or was it really about, you're just really concerned about the environment?
Okay, so thank you for the question. Jezebel actually started when our founder attended this consultation with the local government unit here in Davao City and several environmental groups because they're planning on doing something about the watersheds here in Davao. When our founder, Mr. Amir Lopez, looked around the room, he saw a lot of experienced people. He was the only one who was in the younger generation, so it belongs to the younger generation. So he thought to himself, in the coming years, would this be the same situation? Would the same people be in the same room fighting for the same battles that all of us should be fighting in the first place? And so that's his motivation in creating Jezebel Incorporated. So it started as a club here in Ateneo de Davao University, where his main goal is to create an environmental organization that not only focuses on school-based activities, but really goes out in the community and helping the community in the front lines. And those are really affected by the adverse effects of pollution around Davao Gulf. So one of those communities would be the Bajau community in Matina Playa, because of course, as we all know, plastic pollution is very prevalent, especially in the coastlines. And so being sea gypsies and trying to earn a living by becoming fisher folk in the Davao Gulf, they're really affected by the increasing number of plastic pollution here in the locality. So that's the motivation of Jezebel Incorporated. We wanted to create an organization that truly works with the society, with the community, truly works for the betterment of the locality. And we also want to make sure that those who are at the helm of environment conservation are the younger generation, so that the fight would be fought longer, because we know that the fight for environmental preservation and conservation is not a quick one. So it's really long term. So we wanted to think ahead and be productive with that. As time passed by, Jezebel evolved into a non-government organization, and then we started partnering with existing environmental groups here in Davao City, such as Sustainable Davao Movement, or SSDM. We also have the local Young Southeast Asian Leaders Initiative Hub and USJA Davao Hub, with already existing pool of young leaders. So the goal now of Jezebel would be to mobilize all of these passionate people and with their own corresponding advocacies, and try to move them towards a common goal of preserving the Davao Gulf and doing something about plastic pollution that is plaguing our oceans. So right now, we have been in constant communication with another non-government organization called IDIS, Interfacing Development, Sustainability, and Innovation and Sustainability. And they are of great help in providing experience in policy making and lobbying, because IDIS is one of the long-standing consultants of the local government of Davao City whenever they have policies involving the environment. So IDIS has been such a great help in giving us an insight on how we should be going around this whole policy lobbying thing. So that's one of the interventions as well that we have planned for Samal, a neighboring city here in Davao City.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Jason. That was a really cool founding story. I really like how that question was framed. It's really a call to action. And that's why I also believe that what you're saying about, yes, we have to mobilize the youth. We have to keep on putting up a really good fight for as long as we could. And because plastic pollution is not solvable in a few years. Actually, even the larger problems or even the smaller problems that goes into the plastic pollution would actually go on for a number of years until we fully have a working system, a system that's really circular, that's sustainable. We can actually say na, okay, we are now hitting our milestones na how do we maintain this? So yes, that's a really cool initiative. And I'm actually glad that I got to know about you also making or mobilizing the youth in Davao, in your neighboring regions as well. So yes, thank you very much again, Jason. Now let's have Irene from EcoShift. How did your initiative actually start?
So my story started 3 years ago, like 2018, because I became increasingly aware of the impact of plastic in our oceans and in our environment. So like many before, I wasn't really mindful with the things that I buy, you know, and its impact on the environment. And then, as I mentioned, I was with a pharma company before. So when I do field work, I used to buy tons of bottled water. So that's where my journey actually started. So I wanted to stop buying water and I wanted to be more mindful with my purchases. So I figured I could probably have an impact in all this. Like a single person like me would be able to create just an impact, just even one, like prevent the manufacture of new plastic bottles. So as I journey into my plastic-free lifestyle, it's a bit tough because I noticed that the options are really limited. Like if you go to the supermarket, even if you wanted to actively shift to a plastic-free lifestyle, stop buying single-use sachet, there are so few options that are good and works for you. Because as a consumer, we buy products that suit us, no? So we wanted this to be sustainable. So that's when I decided that why not? I should like launch my own brand of personal care items, and then I have to make sure that these are all plastic-free. You know, like there's no packaging, there's no bottle, because at the end of the day, all of us consume things. We buy stuff that we need. Sometimes we buy stuff that we do not need. So in terms of this aspect, I wanted to cut it from the source. That way, it will no longer end in our oceans or in our dump sites. It's a big task for an individual person who does not have any background in circular economy or who did not take a course that's about the environment or about the or anything about the environment. So it's just a matter of me trying to at least stop or be mindful with what I use. So I started with convincing my girls to stop buying plastic, or if we can, maybe we can just, you know, bring our own tumbler, something like that. And then I started convincing people at the office that you should bring your own tumbler. Why not bring your own tumbler? Something like that. And then started giving presents that are plastic free. That's where the idea came in. So in December of 2018, I started selling within my community or within my friends. And then it's just gained traction after that. So because the first part of the EcoShift is more on like e-commerce. So I figured, how can I reach the low income household? These are the ones that are actually prone to buying like single use sachets, which is currently our number one issue in the Philippines. Like tend to buy single use sachets because we perceive it as more cost effective. At the same time, the cash outlays, which the initial cash out is smaller. So that's something that we prioritize because we can afford, so we can budget the earnings that we have for the whole household. So that's the idea of the refillery came in for this part of the project of my advocacy. So if we can put in personal care items, refillery in each community, one that doesn't need manpower, like a coin-operated refillery, and then you could be able to purchase your own personal care or home care products like your laundry, your shampoo, your conditioner, and then just like a 5 pesos or 5 to 10 pesos. And then forgo with a single-use sachet packaging, then this would greatly impact on how we are able to prevent the use of single-use plastic, because they can just use their own containers when they go to the machine and the machine would dispense these products. So I firmly believe that even though the task is so daunting for a single person, like each one of us can actually make an impact. And then if there's so many of us doing this already, like few simple shifts, we would be able to eventually address this overconsumption of single-use plastics.
Thank you, Irene. So actually, as someone who's really also into personal care, I personally like this project also, because number one, me myself, although I like personal care, I still leave a huge footprint when it comes to buying those products, because typically are packaged in plastic bottles. Then I haven't really been able to buy natural made products as much as I could. So I am sinful in this particular area, and that is also something that I want to work on. And yes, about refilling, about I adhere to the sachet issue, the single-use plastic issues that comes with the products that we buy, especially for the masa, because those are the ones that are really affordable and cheap for them to actually buy off the shelf. So there is really a huge work needed to be done there. But again, small steps every day, consistent steps, will get there. We're glad that there are a lot of projects, including EcoShift, that are trying to also minimize the plastic production that goes, or distribution that goes with the products that we buy. Okay, so thank you again, Irene. And now let's have Pia from Pure Ocean. How did your initiative start? Could you tell us a story about it?
Well, see, there's a personal founder story and then there's the enterprise story. Siguro, the enterprise story first. Like I said, we've been aware of the marine plastic problem underwater since 2011. And I've been basically super researching, like many years of researching, figuring out what the issue is ba talaga, and seeing what solutions could be done in a more long-term way. So a lot of the time was spent actually looking for locally available technology. The background is 70 to 80% of marine plastic litter are actually your film plastics, single-use or multi-layer plastics like sachets or sando bags. So those aren't traditionally recyclable. In fact, we have a high collection rate for recyclable plastics like PET bottles, right? Or those Zonrox bleach bottles. All of those have value in a junk shop. But the plastics that mostly end up in the ocean, these are the ones that don't get recovered by our informal waste sector or communities, because basically, yeah, nobody buys them. It's not worth the time and the effort. My goal was to find some way to generate value from these types of plastics, and with the intent to incentivize more people, specifically the coastal communities that we work with, to collect these plastics. We're really more in recovery and addressing that urgent need, alleviating the threat of plastics that are there already on the beach and floating in the water. It wasn't until 2017, finally, I met the founder of Envirotech and Winder Recycling. So maybe because Jason is in Davao, maybe they work with Winder Recycling. So the founder, C. Chester, he started recycling or upcycling low-value plastics, exactly the kind of plastics that I was looking to collect. And he was coming from, he wanted to lessen illegal logging. So he was making school chairs out of these low-value plastics that were pulled out of landfills or collected by communities. And so suddenly, like, here I am and asking him about the technology. And at the time, he didn't even realize, oh, right, there's this whole other marine plastic litter aspect as a source for his input materials, right? So we basically, I negotiated an investment contract with him so that I could start having access to his plant and we could start developing upcycled plastic products together. So actually when I found him and said, finally, I found this technology that could use these marine plastic litter as input material for higher value product. That's it. That like key moment where, oh my God, I can finally do something about this, that bigger scale than what we do as scuba divers, right? And that's what started it. few months later, I basically quit my advertising job because it didn't make sense anymore. My weekend activity, which is like, so I dive during weekends and pull plastics and diapers out of coral. And then come the next day on a weekday, I would get a job of selling like diapers. It didn't make sense anymore. So I quit my job. And so put most of my time into building Pure Oceans already and started working with the communities because finally I'd found this value generating endpoint with the help of Winder and Envirotech.
That's a really cool story, Pia. I actually cracked up on the advertising part.
The diaper thing, it's still a problem. So I still take some advertising gig, but like I don't do diapers or single use brands.
Yeah,
I'm still trying to solve it because really disposable diapers are like, as a consumer product, for me, it's like the holy grail of plastic use. It'll be so hard for people to let go of disposable diapers. So I'm also still trying to crack that.
If I'm not mistaken, all of the products sold off the shelf, the diaper products, are disposable. So I haven't come across a diaper product that's reusable or washable. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. There are some like washable cloth diapers, essentially lumpen. Mm. It doesn't, of course, plastic disposable diapers are so easy to use. Like it hits a cultural need to just quickly get rid of poop. So that's for me a holy grail of things that, I mean, if Irene could help on that, it would be great. How to shift parents back to cloth diapers or something. But I'm not a parent myself, so you know, I'm not the right person also.
There's so many things, factors on cloth diapers because it's like the same as period, the menstrual pads.
Thank you very much, Pia, for a nice story. And we all know that anything, all our plastics really end up in the oceans when we dump them. Of course, we are fully aware that, for example, here in Metro Manila, since we're based in Metro Manila, since the lack of recovery facilities really aggregate or exacerbate that waste leakage, the leakage actually goes into the water streams, which goes to the Manila Bay and whatsoever. So there is really a lot of work to do there. Thank you very much, Pia. And so let's have Brian next from Plastic Battle. Could you tell us a story about how you started your initiative?
How did I start the Plastic Battle? I am backpacking around the Philippines for a few years. And in 2017, I stayed 1 month in Nactan Beach in El Nido, Palawan. There are a few accommodations in that beach, but tourists come on the day and then leave a pile of trash in the evening, specifically the disposable water bottles. But back in the hostel, foreign tourists refill their water bottles. So I said to myself, like, yes, water is safe for tourists and tourists can refill. They just need to know where to access clean and safe drinking water. This gave me the idea to start a campaign that promotes water filling, but I don't have the money for it. So I made a campaign that convinced businesses to set up water refilling stations and then lobby to them that they could actually reduce their reliance on single-use water bottles and promote water refilling to conserve their environment and technically the primary source of their business, which is the environment or the ocean, because they're island tourism destination. I piloted a campaign in Siargao Island in partnership with Safe Philippine Seas and Sea Movement. That's the story of Plastic Battle.
Okay. Thank you very much, Brian. Actually, I was sinful about the use of so much plastic bottles before when I was in college. I was the one who likes, back then when I was in college, I was the one who likes really bringing a water bottle with me. I keep on buying off the shelf when I go into class. I buy water bottles and then I'll just refill it in the water dispenser in college. I will throw it away when the day ends and then I will buy another one the next day. My logic back then was, it's okay to buy plastic bottles as long as I throw them properly, I segregate them. But then again, it's still footprint. You're still using a lot of water bottles. Water bottles when you could have used less or none at all if you are using reusable bottles. So I'm glad that I was able to work on that. I'm using a flask now because uso naman din yung hydro flask, aqua flask. So at least I was able to work on that already. And there are a lot of, well, I'm not sure if there are a lot of refilling stations already, but then I'm sure that that is what the plastic battle also wants to address, that it wants to really systematize. Okay. Last but not the least, Benjo from Trash Cash. Could you tell us a story about how you started this initiative? Because something just tells me that you might have been working on other apps or projects before, but how did you exactly went into solving trash using app or AI-based app?
As a traveler and a hiker, we see a lot of trash around, most likely plastic, and it really destroys our environment. So back then, I was thinking of something that if people can see the value of plastic instantly through computer vision or machine learning, they might collect it and improve the recycling rate. We also provide platform to our community partner to monitor how much plastic is being generated in their area, which those data can be used for their waste management plans. Mobile phones are now part of the necessity. So that is why we would like to incorporate technology as major part of our solution. So the idea actually started when we joined the Impact Hackathon, which was the largest hackathon in the Philippines last 2019, which participated with almost 3,000 developers nationwide. So we bagged the first place award. So from there, we continuously improved the process and our system. Currently, our process relies on the LGU since they will serve as our bridge to the community that will help us implement the project to the barangay level. We have drop-off center at one barangay in Tondo and Calamba. So hopefully we can partner with other LGU and private firms to adapt and embrace the Trash Cash app to establish more drop-off locations for the plastic waste collected by the app user. We've also partnered with Clean Our Oceans Project, an organization that advocates marine conservation through responsible consumer behavior in communities and schools to sort out plastic materials collected by users at the barangay level. And those plastic materials will be collected by the Clean Our Oceans Project, after which these recyclables will be transported to upcycling companies like Sentinel Upcycling Technologies, which will transform the discarded plastic into new functional materials such as trash bin, crates, and chairs, tables, and among other products. That's how we started the app.
That's cool, Benji. Thank you very much for that story and congratulations on your past win. I truly do believe that a lot of projects really were born out of hackathons, out of innovation challenges. And this goes with all of you guys, all you finalists. We truly believe in the potential of your projects or your initiatives and your startups here. And we can only marvel at how you would progress moving forward in 2-3 years or 5 years' time. So yes, thank you very much for your stories. It was a blast listening to each and every founding story that you've shared with us.
Sustainarumble is proudly brought to you by Cutprint Podcast Network. We would like to thank our executive producer Patsy Ferrer, show producers Ellie Quirong-Pol and Jericho Raimundo, and the audio editing crew EJ Edrelin and Ishmael Viray for making this possible. Stay tuned for more on EPIC and solving the plastic problem. For more about EPIC and the UNDP's initiatives, you can check out their official website and socials at www.ph.undp.org.
Support Sustainarumble by following us and clicking the Get Notified of New Episode switch to get push notifications on new episodes and other exclusive educational content.
And be an official Rumbler by joining our community group today so that you can get in touch with our growing community, participate in discussions, and share valuable content that would help other people learn a little bit more.